Hello and welcome to the FWI podcast. We're back again, and I'm Michael Target, the web manager of FWI.
And back with you, John Riley, the news editor of the magazine.
Hi, John.
Hi, Mike. We hope you enjoyed our last offering, which was a real scoop for us, David Cameron. If you haven't listened to that yet, I fully recommend it. Have a look on the website, check it out. Whereas Jonathan Ross only got 5 minutes on him, we got the full 20 minutes. So he's very open about his view for agriculture in the future.
And we didn't even ask him about Margaret Thatcher.
We didn't. We stayed away from Margaret Thatcher. We left that to Jonathan. We collared him on the way to the Royal Show. And if you were one of those that stayed away, attendances were a little bit down because of the hot weather, perhaps you should have a look at the webcast that we've put together. It's our first go at it, and we'd like to know what you think. But it's very involving, and it's just like being there, in fact.
Yeah, well, it was for me, because I was there, obviously. But if you want to see that, that's on the Royal Show special report on FWI. So click on that, and there's a link through to the video.
Okay, so on to this month's features. Kicking it off, we have our very own Chrissy Lawrence showing her bulls at the at the Royal Show. Nice livestocky feature for you there. And after that, we've found something down the back of the sofa, but nevertheless, one of those places where you find money and change and good plastic and things like that. This is worth keeping hold of. It's more from the cereals event with some
it's bits and bobs from various manufacturers, JCB, Fast Track, the new Fast Track, they've got them talking about it, various cultivating manufacturers, and some sprayers, and general kind of insight into the show.
So it's well worth a listen, so we didn't want to lose that one for you. We'll put that one forwards and have a listen, check it out. So Mike, over to you at the Royal Show then.
Hi, thanks John. I'm doing a feature following Farmers Weekly's very own Chrissy Lawrence as she does a bit of livestock showing, as she's preparing her bulls and seeing how she gets on there. Okay, one of the mainstays of the Royal Show is the cattle showing, the livestock showing. And I've come into the cattle sheds now, and I'm here in the Limousin lines, and I'm with Deputy Livestock Editor Chrissy Lawrence. Hi, Chrissy.
Hi, Mike.
Hello. It's nice and hot in here, isn't it?
Tell me about it.
Right, okay. Now, those of you who read the magazine will be familiar with Chrissy and her role as a journalist, but in addition to that, as a hobby, Chrissy and her fiancé like to show cattle. Is that right, Chrissy?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we show cattle on behalf of Tim and Sue Watson from
right.
East Sussex.
Okay.
Pedigree Limousin herd.
Okay.
So we're up here with three from the herd.
And we're standing, I would say in front, but sadly not, it's behind one of the animals in question. Now, can you tell us a little bit about this beast?
Yeah, he's a two-year-old bull, Quaish Volcano. We bought him last year as a baby from a breeder in Somerset. Shown him last year, and we're showing him this year as well. So.
And high hopes for him?
Really stiff class.
It's a tiff competition.
It is stiff competition. There's only five in the class, but they're five very good bulls.
Right.
So. Who knows, really?
Okay, fair enough. So you're just beginning to prepare the bull.
Yeah.
So what kind of things do you do to try and give yourself the edge, or in fact just sort of fulfil the criteria?
Yeah. Basically, it's all about sort of hiding the bad points and emphasising the good points.
Right.
So I'm just going to start what we call dressing him. So I use loads of potions and sprays and stuff, combs to get his hair up, make him look a bit bigger, fill in a few of the gaps.
Right.
Yeah, just dress him up really, so just about to start that now.
Great. Now I'm looking around at the other animals that I've seen, the other Limousins I've seen out in the arena, and they all seem to have that sort of mottled coat.
Yep.
Now I'm looking at Arbol here, who seems like he's got a very smooth coat. Is that because we haven't started hairdressing
him
yet?
Yeah, I haven't started making that mottled coat yet, so
I've got a can of
show foam in my hand, and I'm just going to start and make that coat.
So. And what's the aim of that? What are you trying to do by making it ruffled?
Make them bigger, make them have presence in the ring.
Yep.
When it comes to showing, an animal's got to walk in the ring, and the judge has got to be drawn to it straight away.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be dressed up, eye-catching, looking the part, rather than just taking something in fresh out of the stall, not been dressed, not been prepared. just like it would look in the field. That's not going to win you a first prize at the Royal.
No, no. Excellent. Okay, that's all makes sense. So, well, I'll leave you to get on with preparing the animal, Chrissy.
Okay.
And
thank you.
And I'll come and bother you again in the judging ring.
No worries.
Okay. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Chrissy. So Volcano's just gone into the ring now. You're looking a bit nervous.
Yeah, I am a little bit.
But can you tell us what the judges are going to be looking for?
Okay, in this class, he's in an intermediate bull class. Uh-huh. He's going to be looking for a bull that can walk well,
right,
have good size and power for his age. Mm. Unfortunately, we're one of the youngest in the class, so our bull's looking a little bit small, but hopefully he'll take that into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
They want long, good depth of thigh, deep bodied bull. Mm-hmm. That's going to produce a very good carcass animal as well as a good breeding potential sire or female for the future.
Right, okay. So Ben, your fiance is leading the bull.
Yeah.
And what kind of things, what kind of techniques can he do to bring out the best in the bull? Is it kind of, are there tricks of the trade?
Yeah, he has to make sure that he walks a little bit slower than he would do normally.
Right.
So the bull can keep up.
Slow
with
down,
him.
Ben.
keep his head nice and high so he's not dragging.
Uh-huh.
He's got a show stick in his hand, so when he stands still in a minute, he'll position his feet properly and scratch them under the belly just to keep them something to concentrate on.
Right.
So it's just the whole package, really. He has to keep an eye on the judge and just to watch where the judge is looking.
And do you know the judge, or is he...?
We do know the judge, yeah. He's a breeder from Shropshire, Richard Bartle.
Uh-huh.
Not that that's got anything to do with where we're going to be placed.
Okay.
I wish it did.
Yeah, okay.
No, we do. I mean, he's a very successful breeder, so...
Yes, okay.
We know him.
That's right, okay, well, great. And how many times around the ring are they going to go?
A couple of times round so that the judge can have a good look at them walk, and then he'll stand them up one by one. They walk towards him, stand up, he has a good thorough look at them, has a feel all over, mm-hmm. watches them walk away, and then he'll make his decision by pulling them in one at a time to where he wants them placed.
Great, okay, well, but 10 hooks, let's see how she
goes, yeah,
okay.
We'll let you know.
Cheers, Chrissy.
Thank you.
Well, Chrissy, congratulations, second place. I can tell from your face you're obviously well pleased with that.
Yeah, pretty good job. I was a little bit worried beforehand because he was the youngest in the class, but he's come second in a really strong class, so I'm really pleased with that.
Excellent, okay. And what does that mean for the future? You plan to sort of build on that? So.
Yeah, he's got a couple more shows this season. We're going to our local Kent County show.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go there, we've got high hopes for him there. And we will finish up with Edenbridge and Oxted and Newbury show. Before he returns to the herd with his girlies. So, and hopefully we'll have some calves on the ground by next year to show. So.
And that's obviously the business incentive
yeah.
of the showing.
Yeah, he is our new stock bull, so he's got to get home and work for a living
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
So.
No more of this Hollywood lifestyle.
Yeah, no more being pampered at shows. He's got to go out and do the business.
Excellent. So. Well, thanks for talking to us and congratulations once again.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Right, well, thanks to Chrissy for that, and a happy ending, which is good. And now back to you in the studio, John.
So, thanks, Mike, for that. It's a happy ending for Chrissy. She did very well there. But hot. How did you cope with the heat?
Well, yeah, it was hot, especially in the shed. Oh, baking. But actually... They say that the attendance figures for the Royal in general were down.
Yeah, down by about 5%.
Yeah, but I did hear that the livestock entries were roughly on the same par as last year. And actually, the livestock arenas themselves seemed pretty busy to me. I mean, they did reschedule some of the events and some of the showings to keep them away from the heat of the day. But nevertheless, it did seem probably the busiest part of the show that I witnessed.
Seems to me that the public always likes the livestock side of things.
Mm.
They're always interested in that.
I think there's still plenty of mileage there, definitely.
Okay, well, thanks very much for that. Now, on to the Better Late Than Never section, which is to the cereals event, where we interview some of the manufacturers. Mike.
All right, thanks, John. Yes, I've been let out of the office once more. This time I've come to the cereals event up in Nocton, Lincolnshire. And today, despite it being a bit dim and a bit rainy, we're going to be making the most of it and getting out and about, chatting to a few of the Farmers Weekly staff, see what they're up to, chatting to some of the manufacturers, see what they've got on offer, seeing if there's anything new, anything interesting, and perhaps collar a few punters, see what their impressions of the show are. Right, off we go. Well, I'm here with Deputy Arable Editor Mike Abram. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
And he's a cereals event veteran. How many have you been to now, Mike?
I think this is probably about my fifth. It's the fourth I've covered for Farmers Weekly. I came to one before I started working for Farmers Weekly.
Okay, and so you're well placed to give us a little bit of information. What's the history behind the cereals event?
Well, the cereals event is the arable event for arable farmers in the country. It's held once a year, over 2 days. It's held in two places normally, either in Cambridgeshire or Lincolnshire. They alternate either.
And we're up in Lincolnshire today.
We certainly are.
So how does this one compare to previous years then?
Well, it's much the same. The weather's pretty poor.
Yeah.
It started off raining this morning, as per normal. It's brightening up a little bit now, so hopefully it'll get a bit better.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
after all the nice weather we've had just recently, it's a bit of a disappointment.
How about the attendance? I know we won't get the official figures for a couple of days, but what's the general feeling?
It certainly looks pretty busy today. There's lots of people. I don't know whether that's the World Cup effect, that people are coming today rather than tomorrow because of the England match. But it certainly seems to be a lot of people wandering around today interested in the various stands and stalls and events that are going on.
I had to queue for the toilet, so if that's any indication, then hopefully we'll see the attendance.
That could just be you, Mike, then.
Yeah, well, no, I'll put the queue for the ladies. That's the problem. So it's a big site and there's plenty to see and do, lots of machinery and things like that. But from an arable point of view, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been concentrating very much on the technical side of things this morning. I've been to look around the Velcourt plots. They had an early morning press briefing where, disappointingly, there were no bacon butties on offer.
No, that's poor.
Which was very poor and very disappointing. But then I had to walk around the plots with Velcourt's Keith Norman, who was talking about disease control in wheat, and he's got various plots looking at different herbicides for weed control in wheat as well. So, which was all fairly interesting and good stuff. And after that, I followed that up by having another press briefing with one of the big manufacturers of pesticides, Bayer Crop Science.
Right. And what were they talking about?
Well, they were talking mostly about their new seed treatment, Deter, which is very good against slugs and also possibly could stop people having to spray for aphids in the autumn potentially,
right,
as well, which could be a real significant advance for farmers.
Okay. So you've got lots of notes, and what do you hope to do with these? Is it just turning them into the standard stories, or have you got anything special in the pipeline?
Well, obviously it will be under quite a bit of pressure to write up the stories as quickly as possible to get into next week's Farmers Weekly.
Quick turnaround.
And also into next week's Crops magazine.
Excellent.
As well. So we've got several pages which we will be devoting to cereals coverage in both magazines for the issues in a week and a half's time.
I mean, I have to say that this podcast is probably going to come out after those have been published, so don't go rushing out and buy next week's Crops magazine and be disappointed. Anyway. Oh, well, that sounds like you've had a busy day, and you're here for tomorrow as well?
Indeed I am. It will be an extremely busy afternoon and another busy day tomorrow, and hopefully I shall get home in time to watch the football.
Excellent. All right, well, thanks for that, Mike. And
no problem.
And hopefully we'll hear you on another podcast at some point in the future. Right, I'm here at the JCB stand, and standing in front of the JCB Fast Track 3230, one of the new machines they've got here. And joining me is Gavin Neat from JCB. Hi, Gavin.
Hi, Michael.
How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Good, good. So we've got these two new tractors. Do you want to tell us a little bit about them?
Okay, yeah. At Cereals today, we've launched these two new Fast Track models, the 3200 and the 3230.
Mm-hmm.
These tractors replace the existing or previous 3190 and 3220. And it's their first public showing today.
Right. Okay. And what kind of changes have we made?
It's been mainly an engine change to meet the latest emission requirements. So the engine capacity has increased from a 5.9 litre with the previous tractors to a 6.7 litre engine in these new tractors, and they meet the latest Tier 3 regulations.
And what does that mean in terms of performance and torque and power?
Okay, both the 3200 and the 3230, as the numbers indicate, the 3200 has a maximum gross horsepower of 200 horsepower, mm-hmm. the 3230 a maximum gross horsepower of 230. So the powers have crept up slightly. We also, the main thing with these engines is we've got much, much better low-end torque as well. The torque figures are very similar, the peak torque figure is very similar to what we've had before. However, with both tractors, we have at least 95% of peak torque available at just 1,000 RPM, so the tractor really, really does pull well at low engine speed.
And as well as the under the bonnet stuff, are there any cosmetic changes?
Yeah, you'll see there's a couple of styling changes to make these two models stand out from their predecessors. We've introduced the glass doors on the cab, and also we have a restyled bonnet as well.
So there seems to be quite a few people around anyway. How would you say it's going down at the show today?
No, it's been a very, very good day, very good first day. There's been lots of people around. The weather's been kind to us as well, mm-hmm. so it's been a very good day.
Excellent, and hopefully a few deals out of it.
I would hope so, yeah.
Yeah, you would hope so. Right, well, thanks for talking to us, Gavin. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay, right, we're here at the Spray Arena, and I've got with me Deputy Machinery Editor Charlie McCarran. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Mike, how's things?
Yeah, it's pretty good. You having a good day?
Yeah, so far, pretty busy, a lot to get around. Here we are, only sprays and sprayers. We've got one coming down now. I think now we're on the mounted demos, Mike, to be honest with you.
What have we had and what's coming up?
Well, so far today we've had every kind of sprayer you could possibly imagine, from the small, very compact machine up to the large sort of 5,000 litre self-propelled beasts, if you like.
Yeah, they've categorised, aren't they? So we started off with...
this morning we had, this morning, Mike, we had the 2,500 litres and above, yeah. Mounted sprayers. Mm-hmm. And throughout the day we've moved on to the large sort of above 3,000 litre self-propelled machines, which are the ones which are obviously for the high-end user, Mike, as opposed to the small compact ones.
And what's leapt out at you so far? Is there anything new, anything big, anything...
It's interesting, actually, mate. So the trend's actually gone the other way. A lot of the manufacturers tell me now that these farmers, contractors, are looking for high-spec trail machines as opposed to... Traditionally, they would have looked towards the really high-end self-propelled units. Now the trend's going the other way. People have got tractors on the farm, willing to use them. Mm. And there's a lot of money that you can save buying a trail sprayer as opposed to buying a really expensive self-propelled unit. So, yeah. Interesting to see that happen.
Yeah, that's unexpected, isn't it? I suppose, does that have anything to do with the fact that, you know, the quality of the tractors these days? You know, they're such good machines that, you know, they're so versatile.
That's right, mate. Hit the nail right in the head there. It's a bit like... some of these guys really enjoy their tractors, they love their cabs, they're quite sort of personalised, if you like.
It's like a bedroom in there.
It is, mate, it is, honestly. It's good to see these boys enjoying their kit.
Excellent.
And hopefully we'll see it continue throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, and from a kind of a work perspective, what are you kind of mainly looking out for? What are you looking to do? What are you looking to write about?
Well, with sprays and sprayers, it gets very technical. People get down to even talking about nozzle selection and droplet size, and they're talking about, you know, micrograms of weight here, which you think can't have that big an effect, but obviously it does, because these guys are quite technical about it.
Yeah.
They throw a lot of money into the research, and just as interesting, this one that's going past, you can see is a fine mist, and the one following down behind shortly will be a dribble bar,
right,
which we're seeing a lot of variation across the sprayer technology. It's moving very, very scientific these days.
Yeah.
Almost... mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling. It boggles my mind. Right, excellent. Okay. Thanks for that, Charlie. And I'll leave you to enjoy the many more sprayers yet to come past this way.
And it's a pleasure, Mike. Thanks very much.
Okay, cheers, mate. Right, I'm here at the JCB demo plot, and I've got with me Rob Immick from Grégoire Bessin, who manufacture ploughs and cultivating and tillage equipment. Hi, Rob.
Hi, you're Michael. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Excellent. Okay. Now, Rob, you've got a couple of bits of new kit, I believe, being sort of towed behind the JCB Fast Tracks.
Yep.
Do you want to tell us what you've got here today?
Yeah, today we've got the new... this is a 5.7 metre Eurocult.
Okay.
And we've got a new 4 metre... it's called a Priscillator. It's a seedbed cultivator, really.
Okay, excellent. Should we go and have a look at the Eurocult?
Yeah,
okay.
Let's do that.
Let's take a wander over. Right, you can see they've been up and down the field a few times. Everything's looking very nice. Do you want to tell us a bit about the machine itself and what it does?
Yeah, basically it's a cultivator, a seedbed cultivator, ideal for going straight into stubble. It's got spring-loaded legs, as you can see. It's aimed at fairly high speed,
yep,
and anything from 2 inches to 6-7 inches depth.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 5.7 behind 260 horsepower. It's probably tractor's probably just a little bit too big for it.
Right. Okay.
You can get away with slightly less.
Yeah.
But it's and then it's got a following harrow just to tickle along.
Yeah.
And to leave a stale seedbed ready for spraying and then going in with a system disc.
Excellent.
Thrill, really.
And what kind of, if someone were interested in making the purchase, get their checkbook out, what kind of damage are they looking at?
This particular one, 5.7 metres, 33,000 retail.
Right.
As it stands here with the following harrows. You can get two or three different options on the back end.
Okay.
But the majority of people like the following harrow.
Yeah.
So it's aimed at sort of like, medium to high range farms, really. We do down to 3 metres, up to 11 metres.
That's great. Let's take a wander over and have a look at the what was the nickname?
Priscilla.
Priscilla. The Priscilla-tator or whatever. Okay, right, here we are. I don't know if you heard that. My knuckles certainly felt that. Right, as the name Priscilla-tator or Priscillator, as that probably indicates, it's a precision equipment rather than the Queen of the Desert, I imagine.
Yes, yeah, rather than Priscilla. Yeah, definitely. This is mainly aimed at sugar beet people as a seedbed cultivator,
okay,
preparating machine. It consists of tines, spring tines, crumblers, you see again, a levelling bar,
uh-huh,
and then the cross kill rollers,
right,
to give the final firming. And it leaves a level, firm seedbed.
Hmm.
We do this from 3 metres up to 6 metres. Folded,
right,
and they're just working on a trowel version now to go 8 and 10 metres.
And again, what kind of damage are we looking at? What's the price tag?
This one here, the 4 metre one, retails around the £14,000 mark.
Right.
The hydraulic folding version.
And sort of a more general question: what's the take up been like today? What's the general impression? You said a really busy stand.
Yeah, very busy, very busy. Yeah, fantastic day so far. The weather's not put anybody off.
No,
it's been a bit overcast, but I think it stopped a few people spraying, so
we've had
more people here to look.
I think that's it, yeah.
I think it's been a very good day, really, yeah.
Well, thanks, Rob, and all the best with your two new bits of kit.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Michael.
Cheers, then, bye.
Thanks, bye.
Okay, it's been a long day, but a good day. Plenty to see, lots of machinery, lots of trial plots, very impressive. Good turnout, even the weather improved in the end. So, excellent, well worth it. So I hope you enjoyed the highlights from an audio point of view. And back to you in the studio, John.
Right, nice one, Mike. Thanks very much for that. Bit of a distant memory, I suppose, for some,
yes,
with the cereals event. But having been to the Royal and the cereals event, how did you find they compared?
Yeah, well, they're obviously two completely different events. Very contrasting. I mean, I suppose the Royal, for me, it's a much broader show.
Mm.
It's got a lot more strings to its bow. You know, it's got the young farmers, the sort of countryside enthusiast side, the whole retail side. It's got obviously the livestock, big plus for it. Whereas cereals, I would say, is a much more focused show in that, you know, you've just got sort of the people interested in the arable are there. A lot of people looking to buy equipment or invest in machinery. So it's a different flavour to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
Mm. Okay, well, thanks very much for listening to that with us. We hope you enjoyed it. Our show theme continues, actually, for next month's podcast, but again, a very, very different show indeed. This time, the Game Fair at Broadlands in Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Mike is going to go along to that one again, I think, aren't you, Mike?
Yeah, looking forward to my guns and dogs there.
Guns and dogs, yeah. Hunting, shooting, fishing.
Yeah.
So we hope you'll download that one with us next time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's goodbye from me, John Riley, the news editor.
And it's goodbye from me, Mike Target. Cheers.
Cheers.